As we continue through the book of Galatians, a book about freedom. We're going to take the remainder of Galatians 4 for this morning's text, verse 21 through verse 31. I'll go ahead and read it. Galatians 4, beginning with verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who do not travail. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And again, Lord, as we consider your word, as we open your word, as we continue to go through your word, Lord, plant it in our heart. Lord, we need you, and we call on your name. We call on your help. We call on your spirit, your power, your love. And Lord, we ask that you have your way in us. Change us, Lord, for your liking, for your pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians. This morning, we're going to talk about being children of promise. We see in this passage this morning, Paul begins in verse 21. He says, do you not hear? Tell me. He kind of poses a question. Tell me. Do you not hear? Those who are under the law, do you not hear what the law says? And the first question is posed to those that aren't hearing. He says, do you not hear? Listen up. Because he's going to take a portion and an illustration from the law, and he's going to lay it on them. Because it brings forth spiritual truth, freeing truth. But he says, you know, just as Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. He in this passage, shares an allegory. Now, an allegory is explaining one thing by another. It's spiritual truth embodied in historical facts and true history. He's going to go back, talk about Abraham, his two sons, Abraham's wife, Sarah, Abraham's wife's handmaid, the bondwoman, Hagar, the children they had, and the meaning that's behind it. And he uses their this passage in Genesis. We find in Genesis 16 and 17 and Genesis 21 as grounds to illustrate spiritual truth, rich spiritual truth. He begins with the history of Abraham's two sons in verse 22 and 23. He says, there was two sons born, one of a bondwoman, one of a free woman, one born according to the flesh, one born according to promise. As he reviews the history, the facts, you know, we have to kind of take a little look, gander, you know, over the account of Abraham. We're not going to go there and read every word. Just a brief summary. Abraham, the Bible tells us in Genesis, was called out of Canaan by God. He said, you know, come apart from your family, from your fathers. I'm going to lead you into a land, which I show you. He went north first, stayed there until his dad died, actually. Then he went southwest, heading towards the promised land, which God led him. The Bible tells us he came into Canaan, set up an altar and worshiped God. The Bible tells us that God spoke to Abraham and said, you know, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And from his seed, there are going to be so many descendants, more than the stars that are in the sky or the sands, on the, you know, grains of sand on the ocean. I'm going to bless you, Abraham, with many, 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 many descendants. Abraham, having no children, you know, was stoked. Time went on. Sarah, you know, understood the prophecy. Time went on. The Bible tells us that Abraham was there in Canaan for 10 years. Then Sarah was inspired. Hey, Abraham, surely, you know, I'm not going to bear any children. Surely, if you have relations with my handmaiden, Hagar, you know, the bondwoman, then we'll have a child by her and she'll grow up to be the seed and the heir of your promise. So Abraham said, yeah. So he went into Hagar. They had a child and Ishmael was born. The Bible says, you know, Ishmael grew up. And then 13 years later, you know, the Bible tells us that when Abraham was, 13 years later, Abraham was 99 years old, that God said, you know, Ishmael was picking on Isaac while Isaac was a child. And God told Sarah to get rid of the bondwoman, cast out the bondwoman. And, well, I'm getting it a little mixed up here, but follow along best you can. When God came to Abraham, he says, you know, Ishmael's not your seed. I told you I'm going to give you a seed. He was 99 years old. Sarah was past the year of childbearing years. It was impossible for her to bear a child. But God told Abraham, in 1 year, you're going to have a child from Sarah. So sure enough, a year later, Sarah became pregnant. It was a miraculous pregnancy. It was supernatural. And she became pregnant and Isaac was born. Well, through this account and story, Paul draws this allegory about these two sons that were born, Ishmael through Hagar, the bondwoman. Abraham went to Egypt one time when there was a famine. And there was where he was given Hagar, the bondwoman, an Arabian girl. And two sons, one born of the bondwoman and one born of the free woman, Sarah. He goes on to, you know, explain the symbolism. That's the history by Ishmael and Isaac. Then he goes on to say, you know, talk about symbolism in verse 24. Verse 25, which things are symbolic. And he's going to use this account and story of Ishmael and Isaac and Hagar and Sarah and his faith to illustrate a point here for the Galatians, for us, for the present. He says, using the whole story symbolically, he said that there's two covenants. Now he's mentioning their mothers. First the two sons, now the mothers. Hagar, he uses symbolically as the old covenant. He says as Mount Sinai, who gives birth to bondage, which is in Arabia. And he says it corresponds to Jerusalem, and which now is. Jerusalem at that time was under Roman bondage, under Roman rule. He said that, you know, one mother illustrates the old covenant. The covenant that was given at Sinai, the one that, you know, brings bondage, and that the children under the law, they're under bondage. He says that and is in bondage with her children, he says. Then he says the other, Sarah, gives a short little footnote, says Jerusalem above is free. the heavenly city. He says, which is the mother of us all. Speaking of the new covenant, the gospel. Speaking of not what came forth at Mount Sinai, but the gospel came forth at Mount Moriah, at the cross, at Calvary. Speaking of the good news, the gospel, the difference, the New Testament, the new covenant. He makes these two comparisons and say they don't mix. The old Hagar, you know, likened to Mount Sinai, born her children born in bondage, to Sarah as the New Jerusalem, who her children are born into freedom. And the gospel brings freedom. He goes on in his allegory in verse 29. He who has been according to the flesh, he who has been born according to the flesh, again, extending this allegory and likening, you know, Ishmael, Hagar, to being born according to the flesh. And he goes on to say, but the one according to the Spirit, or Isaac, he likens to being born according to the Spirit. He makes this contrast, and he brings forth, elaborates this allegory to illustrate some truth, spiritual truth. Now, if you look for why, you know, he said, he likens Ishmael to, you know, one born according to the flesh. The reason he does that is, you know, you recall the story. They're waiting patiently for God's promise to come forth. Sarah's not getting pregnant. Sarah's barren. So Sarah and Abraham take things into their own hands. See, they use their own ingenuity. And they bring forth a child using natural means. They contrive in their own ingenuity to, hey, let's have a child through through Hagar. And it was their own plan, to their own effort to bring forth God's promise. It was their own endeavor, their own strength, their own self-sufficiency, trying to manufacture God's spiritual life. Abraham made a mistake, a big mistake. The Bible tells us that Ishmael, you know, the father of the Arabs, Ishmael, worshipped by the Muslims, likened to the father of the Muslims, Muhammad, you know, the 12 sons of 12 tribes of Ishmael being all the base, the root of the Muslim movement. The Bible tells us that he who was born of the flesh persecutes he who was born of the Spirit. We see the conflict between the Arabs and the Israelis. It goes on till today. You know, a big, huge mistake by taking things into his own hands, trying to bring forth what God promised him. He gives this illustration to, you know, communicate something to us today. He goes on in this allegory. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, you know, an allegory is, it's a means by which, you know, using one thing to communicate another. It's trying to communicate something to us. In Proverbs, the Bible tells us in verse 5 and 6 of chapter 1, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, or an allegory, the words of the wise and their riddles. Solomon writing Proverbs, and he said, you know, wise men will acquire, not just understand, but acquire an allegory. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes about the Old Testament. He said that, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come, for our instruction, that we might absorb, that we might acquire, that we might understand what God's trying to teach us, his children of promise. He likened Ishmael to a child of the flesh, or a child of bondage. And then he likened Isaac to a child of a promise, or a child born of the Spirit. For he was truly a child born of the Spirit. If you go look back, you know, God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child beyond their childbearing years. It was truly a miracle that Isaac was born. He was born supernaturally, outside the natural. See, they took things in their own hands. Hey, we know how it works. We can have a child through Hagar. Using natural means. Yet God's plan is much bigger than what they contrived to bring forth. God's plan is supernatural. God's plan is outside of us. It's bigger than what we can do inside of us. God likens Isaac to the child of promise because he came as a supernatural promise. He was born supernaturally. Paul applies this directly to us. Look in verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. We, bros and sisses, as we say, we are children of promise, just like Isaac. That's some powerful spiritual truth. This allegory is trying to communicate to us. Well, Solomon says a wise man will acquire it. He says that we now, presently, are children of promise. You know, salvation comes as a result of promise. The Bible says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Now, that's a promise. God so loved, you know, the world that he gives everlasting life to those who believe. Now, we're born as children of promise by taking that promise. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. And as I believe in him, his promise is wrought in me. He's given me everlasting life because I believe in him. It's a child of promise. Salvation comes from a promise. Jesus, you know, so many promises. Come to me, I'll give you rest. You tired, you weary, you heavy laden, come to me. That's the promise. If I believe the promise, respond to the promise, I'll come to him. And you know what will happen? He's not only the promiser, but he's the fulfiller of promises. He'll give me rest. If I respond, I react to his promise. Isaac was born a promise. You know, again, his birth was a miracle. Supernatural, spiritual birth. We, as Isaac, are children of the promise. Supernaturally born again. Jesus said, you know, you have to be born again. The Bible tells us, Peter says, you've been born from above. It relates to this passage, you know, you're mother of us all, the heavenly Jerusalem, which is above, the mother of us all, born from above, life from above, supernatural, miracle, supernatural birth outside of ourself, a promise to be believed, activated because we believe, but supernatural nonetheless. We can't manufacture it. We can't bring it to pass. We can only accept it. We, as Isaac, are children of promise. Born free. You know, he said that the old covenant, born from the mother, born of the handmaid, born of bondage, born into bondage, born under the law, born in the flesh, living in the flesh, under bondage. But he who is born of the Spirit, born free, is free. Born in freedom. For Sarah was free. The point is the whole birth process is freedom. The whole supernatural, spiritual process in our life is freeing. It's freedom. Paul says, he who is born from above is free, as Isaac was, a child of promise. Paul illustrates that point. You know, Lysias, Paul was in the middle of Jerusalem and actually being beat to death in a mob. Lysias, the commander, a Roman soldier, grabs him out and takes him, you know, actually saves his life, brings him, separates him from the mob. Paul goes up on the steps to the fortress of San Antonio. He says, can I speak to the crowd? And Lysias says, go ahead. So he starts, you know, witnessing. And then he says, Gentiles. And then again, the crowd turns into a mob. They want to kill him. Totally out of control. And Lysias, you know, now he's ticked at Paul. You know, here you go again. You know, you started this. And he told the soldier that was with him. He says, hey, beat him with rods. And then let him go. Scourge him. And Paul says, is it right to beat a Roman soldier uncondemned? Is it legal to beat me? I'm a Roman soldier, a Roman citizen. And Lysias, taking Paul aside, say, now, Paul, I paid a high buck for my citizenship. How did you get yours? How did you obtain yours? Paul says, I was freeborn. We're all freeborn. You know, it's not, we don't have to strive to be a Christian. We don't have to strive for our citizenship. We're all born free. As Paul telling Lysias about his citizenship, there's no need to strive to be a citizen. We're born one. We're all children of promise, child of God. Jesus, and the Bible tells us in John chapter 4 that he was weary and tired. He sat down by a well. He was thirsty. His disciples went ahead to get a drink or to get some food, to buy some food. And a woman came up. And he asked the woman, he said, give me a drink. And the woman said, how is it that you being a Jew talk to me being a Samaritan woman? Jesus said something interesting to her. He says, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, if you knew the gift of God and he who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And then she still didn't get it. She said, well, how can you draw water? You don't even have a rope and the well's deep. And he says, no. If you drink this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I shall give, you will thirst no more. For it'll become in you a fountain of living water, welling up to everlasting life. The promise. You know, the promise acquired by asking. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, or the promise, if you knew the promise for you, for all of us, for the children of promise, if you knew the gift of God, then you would ask me for a drink, Jesus said. Asking, simply asking for the promise. Children of promise, partakers of promise. Simply, the criteria is simply by asking. Again, Jesus, in chapter 7, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Believing in me. Asking. Child of promise. Paul, in this passage, he's saying, you know, you who are under the law, that's who he's speaking to. You who are mixing it up. You know, I got to mix it up sometimes. I don't get this straight sometimes. You know, the idea is you're trying to do something in your own strength. Trying to do something, being self-sufficient. Trying to, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And trying to bring forth God's promise. Trying to be a Christian in your own strength. Hey, for you who are mixing it up, he said that they don't mix. The Old Testament and the New Testament, the covenant of the Spirit and the old covenant or the life of the flesh don't mix. So he gives some practical instruction. He said that to cast out the bondwoman and her son. You know, the Bible tells us that We're called to live by grace. We're called to live trusting Him. We're called to live according to His faithfulness for our life. We're called to live awaiting His promise if we haven't received it. And, you know, Abraham and Sarah mess things up, as we often do. But the result is Ishmaels. We have Ishmaels in our life. We look back at the mistakes we've made, and it brings forth Ishmaels. And the Bible tells us to believe in Him, to wait on Him. He called us to live in His grace. Let's stand. You know, the message is for you who live under the law, you who trust yourself, you who live according to your self-sufficiency, you who try to be a Christian in your own strength. Sound familiar? You know, He said, there's an allegory, and you, as Isaac was, are children of promise. That God desires to interact and intervene in our life according to supernatural, spiritual promise. Outside of ourselves. Something we can't even muster up. It's God's promise to us. But you got to wait for it. Sarah and Abraham grew impatient. I mean, you know, reasonably so. You know, past the years of childbearing. And yet, the promise came. You know, Lord, help us. Let's pray. Lord, cause us to live by Your grace. Cause us, Lord, to trust You. Cause us to live according to Your faithfulness. Lord, we need You, and we turn to You. We ask for wisdom. Lord, we ask that we would acquire this truth, Your word, this allegory. Touch us, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. You know, I was looking through. Tori has a topical Bible thing. And in there, I was looking at the different allegories in the Bible. I thought one struck me interesting. One's found in Zechariah. There's only a handful in the Bible. But one struck me powerfully. It's in Zechariah chapter 4. Remember when Joshua and Satan came before the temple? Or you might be, it's an allegory set forth to share, communicate truth. You might be more familiar with the following verse. The Bible says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, it's not by My strength, it's not by My power, it's not by My ability. I can't do it. I can't do it. But by Your Spirit, saith the Lord. Trusting in His faithfulness, trusting the promises of God. He can do it. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.